post-event checklist is pretty much the same and just asks for the amount of income that came in and any outstanding payables or obligations. So that's pretty much it. The motivation on the motion came from an event at KPFK in 2012 that unfortunately lost a substantial amount of money. I think the final accounting was about $39,000. It was a pretty big hit. The event ended up costing well over $100,000 and only brought in about $65,000 in income, give or take. What happened was sort of an ever-expanding project that started out kind of small and in a somewhat haphazard way, got bigger and bigger and bigger, and as it got bigger, the planning kind of fell down in terms of making sure that the station was not overextended in terms of spending more than it was likely to be able to bring in from the event. I think that I'll stop there. I think this is fairly basic bookkeeping stuff that most people putting together $2,500 events are doing anyway, but it basically is a statement that it is station policy to make sure that it's done, and it serves as kind of a break on sort of a runaway process or an event going a little crazy, as that particular event did. In our conversations on the finance committee, some of the people who had been around for a sustained period of times were also able to look back into their own memory bank and come up with an event or two at their stations that also had a bit of a runaway train impact, where things got a little bit out of control, and as it turned out, the event ended up costing much more than it made. So there was general consensus with a majority of the finance committee that this was a good idea. I believe there were two dissenting votes, and it passed something like 7-2. So, okay, that's the motion on the floor. Summer, we can have whatever discussion we need to have.
Thank you, Summer.
Brian here.
On procedure, Brenda. Summer, on procedure.
Lydia.
There was 10 minutes. There's 10 minutes on the agenda for this item. So Tracy just spoke for a little over 6 minutes. I assume that the 10 minutes starts now. Is that correct?
No, not really, but it sounds fine. I mean, you know, I just like to get things done, and we do get so bogged down. So let's have 10 minutes. And, you know, and I could say 10 minutes myself on my observation and participation in events at KPFK over the last 6 years. And I have produced events, and I have worked at our events. We've got a lot of loose handling practices, everything from large events spinning out of control costing you tens of thousands of dollars to small events.
Summer, can we get to the stack?
Yeah.
So anyway, I just want to concur. Like, this comes, I think, from a lot of people's experience.
Okay.
I agree with that. So
Margie wants to be on the stack.
So let me take Margie. I heard Brenda after that. And who was after
Brian.
Brenda?
Brian.
Luzette. I'm sorry.
Luzette. Summer, can you hear me?
Okay, Luzette. Thank you. After Luzette.
Okay.
Did you hear Lydia?
Okay, Lydia. Now I do. Thank you. You may have called earlier. Sorry if I missed you. Okay, so
Richard.
Okay, so we have Margie, Brenda, Brian, Lizette, Lydia, and Richard.
Did you?
Right?
Yeah, okay.
So, Margie, go ahead, please.
Okay, somebody time me, okay? I want to say that I find this, this is, it seems to me that it's inappropriate for the national board to make this kind of detailed requirement to each individual station. The stations are different. Different things happen. If you need it, use it. If you don't need it, don't use it. It has to be voluntary, or we shouldn't do it. It can be advisory to stations, but this is like it doesn't take into account the fact that everybody has different things happening. We have regular events at KPFA that are run by Bob Baldock, which are stupendous events. Hundreds of people come to them. The events themselves don't make a great deal of money, although he's never lost money on an event. But the recordings of the speeches bring us in hundreds of thousands of dollars because you use them for premiums. So my personal estimate is we don't need this. He has a procedure. He reports the reports are made to the business office. But, you know, it seems like this is like micromanaging in a way that just is stunning to me. And I think we shouldn't be doing this. We should say to stations who have had problems, you need to put something in place. Put it in place. Tell us what it is. But we don't need to do this top down.
Thank you, Margie. Brenda, next, please.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
All right. So a couple of things. I agree with Margie. I think it's a hyper version of micromanaging, and I think that many people on this board have often disregarded many motions or discussions about micromanaging the station. So I would urge those folks to make sure that they express their opinions. The second thing, although I do like that there should, I do agree that there should be a protocol for public events, I think that this is a little excessive because it involves too many entities. I think it's important that the LSB know of an expenditure that may be over a certain amount of money, but again, there should be more opportunity for management to be able to handle events. And if they don't handle an event appropriately, then how we need to first address issues of how to do a write-up properly, because something I've noticed in this foundation is that we're very quick to try to get rid of somebody for one mistake that they make, so everybody's walking on eggshells. I want to just raise that issue. Thanks.
I'm Ed Carolyn to the stack, please.
Okay, thank you, Brenda. Brian, you're next.
I just kind of want to build on what Margie said. I'm totally sympathetic with the sentiment, and fundraising events can be a real disaster for nonprofits. We're not alone in that regard. But to my understanding, the staff who actually work on events haven't been consulted about the feasibility of this procedure. We put together about 30 events per year, either by ourselves or jointly at KPFA. It's all put together by one half-time staff person. This would be incredibly cumbersome for him. It would interfere with the reporting procedures that we already have set off. I think it's misleading to call it a checklist when it asks for pages and pages of attachments, including budgets, reconciliations, contracts, copyright paperwork, hour logs, and inventories. And, you know, many of those are accounting functions that the person who runs our event doesn't do. That has to come from our business office. And the timeline for producing these things doesn't, you know, we do reconciliations, for instance, but it doesn't accommodate whether she's working on a month-end close or not, or working on a payroll transfer or not. Again, I'm all for creating accountability around events and coming up with a procedure to restrain events, but I don't think we should micromanage the entire station staff, especially when some of them are being very effective doing this. On the basis of one bad event in Los Angeles. I think the people responsible for that event should be dealt with, you know, individually.
Thank you, Brian. Lizach, next, please.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you. Go
right.
Ahead.
Thank you. Well, when I saw this item, I was kind of taken aback, and it's a pity that we waste so much of our time on matters that really bear little relevance. And Brian, it's not just one incident that requires some sort of monitoring. We had a gala 2009, and we're still recovering from that loss. What I think, and the reason why I say this is a waste, it doesn't really say what would happen if we went over the amount that the project is restricted to. And it seemed to me that whoever it is that's planning a program would spend more time keeping paper than they would spend on the actual event. And I'm not sure this is the way to go, especially when it doesn't say what would happen if somebody went over budget. I think this thing should really not be considered further. The CFO and the business managers are the people who should be looking at how our money is spent, stop people from signing blank checks, and that's the way to go. And it wouldn't happen from the PNB and the LSB, so to speak. Thanks.
Thank you, Lizette. Lydia, you're next.
Okay.
Yes,
thank you,
well,
Stack.
Okay.
Again, it's way cumbersome, and I mean, I did get a chuckle when I got it, though. I understand the intent, and I don't argue with the intent. And I do question whether the people that put this together were sufficiently well-versed in all aspects of what is entailed, not just in organizing an event, which they may have done in other circumstances, but at the station. So I agree with Margie. I agree with what Brian said and others have said. But I know that, I've had also the occasion when I had organized the premiere of the film Zapatista at the Directors Guild. It was this enormous success. We had to open an additional theater, et cetera. With the same theme with a film by Saul Landau not too long after that at the Writers Guild, it was abysmal. I mean, you just never know. The same list, the same celebrities invited on the host committees, et cetera. And so, you know, there are things that are often outside of your control. I do think, obviously, budgets should be in place. I think if something is a tremendous financial loss, but not all the events are about finances. As Margie had mentioned, many of our events are just about outreach and about getting people there with a modest budget, right? So as long as you don't lose money. So who gauges whether something is a success or a failure? It's not always the monetary value, although I think there should never be a loss. It's all possible, obviously. But, for example, one of the things I didn't like about the motion was, you know, that you'd have to have somebody in place. I can't remember the wording. I just got home from driving. But, for example, if you had a Michael Moore, and, of course, you have your list of, you know, what happens, who is the next person you invite if that falls through.
Lydia, your time is up.
But then you don't have a Greg Pallet say, we don't tell him, oh, you're the understudy. I mean, that's not the step that you do. You would maybe call him if that falls through. So the whole thing was not written. I think it needs to go back to committee and revisit it, simplify it. And I agree with Margie, the local stations should be developing their process. Thank you.
John to the stack, please.
Thank you, Lydia. After Lydia is Richard Uzel, then Carolyn, then Tracy, then John Crumshaw. Thank you, Richard. Go ahead, please. You're next.
So if all those people speak for 90 seconds, we'll be out of time on this item.
Okay.
So why don't we let all the people speak? If we run out of time, then we take a vote at the end of the stack. That's fair. Richard,
Summer.
Go ahead, please. I would adhere to your time limit.
Summer. Can I be on the stack, or should I just respond?
No, you know what, folks? I'm going to add a little bit of moment of time for Raul, okay?
That's fine.
We disagree in a gentle fashion, like 5 more minutes, then we wrap up this subject, take a vote, et cetera?
Good.
Okay, thank you. Richard, go ahead, please.
I think it was Lucette who said what will happen. I don't think this is a procedure for gathering information and for helping guide people putting together events. And we hear over and over about the lack of procedure that we have, the lack of accountability. This is accountability. I mean, it's not that much, and it applies to events over $2,500. We have all kinds of events that have gone awry. We still have ducks that just arrived at the Atlantic Ocean. This should stay in place, and we could modify it later if we need to.
Summer.
Where are you?
Sorry, I was on mute and couldn't get off. I apologize. Carolyn, go ahead, go next, please. Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, thank you. This will be quick. I think this is wonderful. And contrary to people who've never had a problem with finances or financing events at their stations, I do believe that our station could have used this several times over. I think that the accountability factor will be solved if we simply make this a public document, and then people who are interested in where the money went and how the event was organized can have access to it. I don't know if that requires an extra line or if every such document would be available to, let's say, a finance committee or any member who wanted to know, but I think this is really much needed, at least at some stations. And I think the accountability, making it transparent, would take care of the accountability, and Lizette is correct that there has to be some way of finding out what it says, but I think that should cover it. So I'm definitely in favor, and I thank whoever designed it, and I'm sorry about the incident that triggered it, but I think it's very much needed. So, yes, I would approve this. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. We have Tracy and then John Crumpster, then we're going to go to Raul, our CFO, and then we'll wrap it and take a vote, okay? Thank you. Go ahead, Tracy.
Okay, just a couple of things. I mean, having actually done some event management work in my past life, I will say for a fact that you can't plan an event without having all of these numbers and all of these papers basically at your disposal at all times, and there is no record-keeping system that doesn't involve basically putting this kind of information into a spreadsheet. So the idea that the form is in some way cumbersome or involves pulling all kinds of papers that an event manager wouldn't have doesn't really strike me as credible, nor as factual. You have to make these plans if you're not going to lose a substantial amount of money. And you need to have all these facts and figures in your head and available and on a spreadsheet in front of you. And I'm quite sure that that's the case for anyone who plans events at any of these stations. What I would say is we can use the word micromanagement, but when we're looking at a situation where we took $39,000 of listeners' money and threw it over the side of a fence, basically, I mean, we might as well have thrown it off the side of a bridge. I think that we have to realize that this foundation has accountability for how it uses listener funds, and saying, well, we accidentally blew $40,000 really isn't okay.
I'm
it's
sorry,
certainly
I,
not
I was,
okay.
I was on mute. Tracy, you're over time.
Thank you.
I don't think I'm over time. I only said about five sentences. Let me finish my sentence.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, we have responsibility, A, for not ever having let that happen, and B, for doing something when it did happen. And certainly when I came on the board in 2010, I heard a great deal about the event that Lizette is referring to at WPFW. The issue seemed to be basically forensic paperwork. Nobody could figure out what happened, where the money went, what went wrong. They were launching investigations. This motion is basically preemptive against repeating those kinds of problems.
Thank you, Tracy. Last of the stack is John Crumshaw and then Raul Salvador. Thank you. Go ahead, John. John, you may still be on mute. Pound 1 to unmute. Thank you.
Oh, I guess I went the wrong way. Is it now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Go ahead, please. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to start my timer and take off 30 seconds. I just wanted to say that I think this accountability piece is really important, because we have to start getting a handle on financial matters. We have limited resources, and there are resources not only in terms of the money we spend, but in terms of the effort that we put forth. And this process that has been suggested is one that will help people to evaluate whether those events are really worth doing or not. So I would strongly urge people to vote in favor of it as an important first step. It could always be modified later, but we should have something in place. People could look at it, and it would give them something to think about. Thank you.
opportunity.
Thank you, Don. I will go ahead, please. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I can only appreciate what the NFC has done, a comprehensive procedure. And I guess that's really needed. If we are not already doing that, then that is one of those things that I wanted to be able to implement. And I totally agree with Margie, Brian, and Lizette saying, you know, it's part of the management, whether it's national office management or local management responsibility or accountability to create a special event that would be beneficial to the station as well as make money as a result of that. That's our goal. But those information may be a little bit on the micromanagement. I can use that word. It's really a big help to have that procedure in place. However, these special events should have been handled in the budgeting process, in the annual budgeting process. All the radio stations should present a comprehensive calendar of events, of special events, ahead of time, that will be approved together with the annual operating budget that will be included into that so that we can anticipate them when the time comes, even whether it's in the next 6 months or within the year. It should be addressed, the amount that needs to be allocated for that special event and the expected revenue that's being generated from that event. That should be addressed and approved in the budgeting process, the annual budgeting process. But I do appreciate that, and certainly that report that NFC had created is very comprehensive and very useful, and I think it's going to be part of my procedures if I will be allowed to use that. On the voting, that it becomes an issue that the national board should vote on, I don't think that's necessary, because I think as a CFO, I would like to implement that myself, even if this passes or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So is there any opposition to this motion?
Brian here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd like to propose a referral.
Okay, go ahead and speak, please.
I'd like to propose that this motion be circulated to the station's event organizing and accounting staff for a 30-day comment period and then sent back to committee for revision.
Can I ask a question, Chair?
Hold on. Before we proceed, I'm sure I'm stepping into some pit of Robert's
table.
Is there a second to Brian's referral?
Seconded. Serene, second.
Serene, thank you. Second from Robert. We're over time, folks, and this feels like it opens up an entire new avenue of discussion. I heard Lizette's voice. Lizette?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the CFO. I think you were very diplomatic in many ways. You said that this is something you would want to do as a CFO, right?
Yes.
Right. Then it has no place here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Am I safe in presuming there is opposition to the referral, or is there not?
No.
Yes.
Of course. Does someone wish to move for more time on any discussion?
Hello, yeah. Teresa for the stack.
This is Jessica.
Hello.
One moment, please, Teresa, and then I heard Jessica.
I was saying I'm for more time for this subject matter.
Lizette.
I'm sorry, you were asking to add more time to this subject matter?
Yes, ma'am.
What is the amount of time?
I'd like to extend the discussion for 5 minutes. I haven't been convinced about referral why that would be okay. I think we should vote on this now.
Okay, is there a second to 5 minutes?
Benito, a second.
Okay, I'm going to go to Teresa on the chat.
Can I motivate that motion to refer if we're going to debate it?
Hold on, is there any objection to extending 5 minutes? No? Thank you. Teresa.
I'm not opposed to having a document like this. I'm somewhat confused from the CFO because he says that he thinks it would be useful, and he had the, he would like to do it. So I think if it's referred to anyone, it should be referred to the CFO, and the CFO could talk to the development directors or the fundraisers or the event planners and could gather the information if it needed to be tweaked. I mean, somebody has to be in charge with making the ultimate decision.
John to the stack.
And I don't think, I admire this finance committee for coming up with this, but I'm opposed to just sending it to refer it to the CFO, and he can make changes after talking to the development people. You know, we need one document for all of our five units, or actually six units, or maybe even seven units, if you count fundraising that could happen with affiliates. So I'd like to come up with one document, and I think referring it to five different people, and then I don't know where it goes from there, I don't think that's the way to get one document that would be useful. Thank you.
You made that a motion. I'll second it.
I'm sorry, was that a motion, Teresa? I'm sorry,
yes.
I couldn't.
Yes.
Okay.
Summer,
well,
can I get on the staff?
I guess call in an amendment to Brian's motion.
Brian will second the amendment.
Okay, can you just distinctly state the amendment, please?
That it be referred to the CFO to be reviewed.
Thank you.
John's
in
the
staff.
Carolyn.
Okay.
Point of order. Point of order.
Let me take the point of order, please.
This is getting a little bit raggedy here. Brian, I need you to send me the original thing. And Teresa, are you saying that in lieu of sending it to all the different stations that has different people who have to be standing there at that station?
Could this document be referred to the CFO to be...
Only?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Good.
Okay. Summer, could you put me on the stack? This is Tracy.
And Carolyn, point of procedure, please.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. I had a whole stack forming, but several people spoke at once. There was a female voice who didn't identify by name. I've heard Tracy. Who else can be on the stack right now? On the-
Carolyn, please, for a point of procedure.
Okay, Carolyn,
yes, I think what was just offered was a substitute amendment, a substitute motion, not whatever it was that Teresa offered. So I think that needs to be voted on first.
Thank you, Carolyn. I believe you are correct.
Madam Chair, that is the substitute, right?
That's correct. Thank you. That's right.
Okay.
Tracy, did I hear Benito?
Yeah, I wanted to get on the stack.
Okay, so Tracy, go ahead, please. And if you had called out before and I didn't hear you, please do so again. Thank you.
Hi, I had, this is John. I had asked to be on the stack several times. I don't know if
you
heard.
Thank you. I did not. Thank you, John. Okay, so Tracy, Benito's gone.
Thank you.
Are you telling me to go ahead, sir? I'm sorry.
Yeah, please do so.
You are? Okay. It's hard to tell with so many people talking. This is almost going to be a borderline point of procedure, but I'm doing it on the staff. If folks read the motion says quite clearly that the details on the checklist and a number of procedural details are at the discretion of the national office and are subject to change and amendment by the national office. So there's no actual need to refer the motion to the CFO. The CFO and the IED working together can make any changes to the procedure that they wish to make. It is the role of the board to set policy. It's not really the role of the board to ask the staff to create their own policies. So I'm a little bit confused about the process that we're following. The amending of the policy doesn't require any sort of referral. It doesn't require anything. It's already built into the motion, including the amount that the checklists, the amount of the
events involved with the checklist covers, the parameters of the checklist, the distribution list, et cetera. So there's really no need for this referral process that's being put out. However, if we don't pass the policy, then we have no policy to revise, amend, refer, change, work from. We basically have absolutely nothing, and we're left with the vacuum that, as we've described, has basically created a scenario where we have these sort of runaway situations that get out of control from time to time at multiple stations. So I think in this case, what we're kind of doing is we're micromanaging the motion and not understanding that the motion allows adjustments
Great.
By executive staff as needed.
Time.
So I think we should really just go ahead and pass it with the understanding that the CFO will be in the position to make changes as time goes by if he feels that's appropriate to make, to make the motion work better. Thanks.
Hello?
Madam Chair, this is Teresa. May I motivate my substitute?
Well, we have Zach, but go ahead. You didn't motivate your substitute, so go ahead.
I agree with Tracy. Therefore, I'm going to vote against the substitute, and I'm going to support the motion. I think she's right. So, sorry. Thank you.
Points of information, Chair.
You're demotivating your substitute.
Chair, point of information.
Yeah, Zach, go ahead, please. What is your point of information?
My point of information is whether you can tell me, can the CFO or any other officer, can they not come to us with a policy document?
Of course. It's what I've been doing. I had to develop a whole obligation policy and obscenity. I ran across our lawyers. I did what you're
you
supposed to do.
You need to keep our checks, our egos in check.
It's right here with C&D involved, not the policy, but we need policies. That's kind of what I think Raul was saying, actually, in terms of
precisely
the management perspective. So, anyway, let's go back to the stack. It's Benito, followed by John Crumshaw, and then we got to take a vote on this one way
Brian,
or another.
Percent.
And Lydia.
Okay. Matt, Summer, you have 3 minutes left on this item at this point.
Thank you. I don't know, Brian and Lydia, somebody can move for more time. Let me finish with the two people that were supposed to be here. Benito, are you?
And Lydia, on the stack.
Just real quick, before the meeting, I was I've read this motion several times, and I was ready to vote in favor of it, but I've listened to several people, Margie, Lydia, and I don't even remember, several people spoke to the issue of micromanaging the affairs and the processes at the various stations. And now other folks have spoken to a whole number of issues related to this, but no one, as far as I can see, has responded to the concern about micromanaging. So I would, I'm not sure how to vote. And I would like, someone to speak to those issues. And in that vein, I would move that we extend 10 minutes.
Thank you, Benito. John, come
you.
Show your next
stack. Yes, I would say that it's important for us to move forward, and we have very positive results in terms of what we've heard tonight and in terms of what Raul, our new CFO, has said. Now, if someone that we have selected to be our chief financial officer says that this is a good policy, I think that following the wording of the motion, there is plenty of option for the national office to make this work, but we need a policy in place, and I would urge everybody to vote in favor of this motion as originally presented. Thank you.
Thank you. I apologize if I've been on staff. Brian, you are not. Let me go to Lydia.
Yes, what I was going to say is that I support Teresa's amendment for this reason. You can pass the policy, but in order to make it viable, in order for it to be practical, in order for it to be followed, in order for it to be realized and to fill that vacuum that is said to be there and that is there, that you do need the input. That is why I believe that given the many comments that the CFO has made this evening, it inspires confidence in me, that he has heard our concerns and would move forward and contact the people who organize the events and immerse himself in the variables of event-specific style, and then come back and present a modified, if necessary, version of what is being presented. So I actually still support referring it to have sufficient input for the CFO to come back with us.
Point of order, Teresa has withdrawn her motion. Teresa has withdrawn her motion. Point of order.
It belongs to the body.
A whole bunch of
well,
people
then maybe the second
all at once.
Whoa. Whoops. Sorry.
Okay. The motion is on the floor. The substitute, Teresa, is free to vote against her own motion. It's already on the floor. So, look, Lydia was on the back. Lydia, did you finish with what you had to say?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Summer, right. Did you hear me? I was trying to get on. This is Serene.
Okay. Well, the thing is, we're out of time. Brian wanted to speak also. We're well past time on this item. If one of you feel motivated to move to STEM time, please do so.
Yeah, okay. Summer, I suggested 10 minutes a little while ago. Benito.
Can we just do 5 and maybe actually get to something from the Elections Committee? We've spent almost 2 hours on 5 motions coming out of finance, 2 of which were dead before they got here.
Exactly.
Second.
Serene, a specific amendment. Yes, thank you. There was a second on 5 as a substitute. Is there any objection to the 5? And hearing none, okay, let's do this. Brian, Serene, and then let's see if we can get to that shortly. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just be really quick to speak to Benito's question. I think micromanagement is when you tell someone who's doing a good job already how to do their job without talking to them first about what it takes to do their job well. And I think the motion's well-intentioned, but in the process of drawing it up, no one talked to the people who were running successful events at our stations. And one of them happens to work at the station I work at. My concern is in its present form, this could leave him spending more time filling out paperwork than filling up halls with people paying for tickets whose money is going to our station. So I am 100% behind the CFO taking this to the staff and talking with them about what's viable, whether it needs to be a little bit different at each station. We don't do a lot of fundraising events. We basically do a speaker series. Right? Authors on book tours and things like that. Very different from doing a banquet or a gala. But I'm very comfortable with giving it over to the CFO to refine. And I also think management would be well within their discretionary power to just implement a procedure like this without a vote of the board. So I think it makes sense to take the work the committee's already done, hand it off to the CFO, let him take it from there, and bring it back to the board for a vote when he wants to.
Thank you, Serene. You're next, please.
Okay, thanks. So very briefly, Teresa's motion, as I first heard it, was to refer to the CFO and ask that he actually, you know, communicate with the people who director, but, you know, the people who actually are doing the work. But somehow when the secretary asked, so you're saying it's only referred to the CFO, right? She then said yes. So that's a change of the motion, a change that I do not support, because I think Brian is right. You do have to actually talk to the people who do the work to understand what processes may or may not work for them. That's one. And two, we do have a financial policies and procedures manual, which may in fact already have something in it. So the rush to always impose something that you think is new doesn't serve us well. So I'm for referral to the CFO. With with the understanding that he will, in fact, reach out to the people who have been doing the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. Does anyone else feel the need to speak on this matter? Point of order.
Yeah, this is Tracy. I'm sorry. If I can, one last go around.
Let me take the point of order from Teresa first, and I'll go to you. Tracy, go ahead, Teresa.
I would just like to say that I think that Serene misinterpreted what I said. I think it should go back to the CFO, and the CFO should consult people and come up with a consolidated document that all of the units can use. I don't think I had to go into – I didn't think I had to go into so much specific detail, so I think that we should just go with the original motion, and I – feel confident that that's what the CFO will do.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Tracy, you wish me.
I have a question, Summer. This is Margie.
Margie.
At our LSB meeting, under Robert's rules, people are only allowed to speak twice on the same issue, and I believe Tracy's already spoken twice on this matter. I don't know if you guys do that the same way here.
Oh, well, but see, the clock gets reset on every substitute. I don't think she's spoken twice on this part of this matter.
Oh, I see. All right, never mind.
Okay, go ahead, Tracy. Speak to the substitute, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't really have a need to speak again, but I wanted to respond to what Benito was saying, that he felt that no one was speaking to the issue of micromanaging, so I thought that I would do that. Let me say quickly that we're kind of going around in circles. The motion went to great trouble to say that all of the terms in it were subject to modification by the national office. It says that right in the motion. Everything that's being described in the substitute motion is already in the motion. The CFO has all the authority in the entire world to change anything in the motion that he feels, after consultation with staff, he wants to change. So in many ways, the substitute is meaningless. It is reaffirming what the motion already says. So that's the first thing. The second thing, when it comes to sort of micromanagement, what I would say, how to say this, it's not really micromanagement when one is responding to problems that are occurring within the foundation. When it comes to KPFA speaker series, those events almost never involve $2,500 in expenses. So I don't think the motion actually applies to most of the community events that KPFA does. So I'm not quite sure what all of the alarm is about. But the motion is sort of working towards is when we have on occasion done major events like the Hero Awards and the gala banquet thing at PFW, whatever that was. I think it was a duck race. I'm not sure. There was something that got really screwed up and people were screaming about it for quite a while. You know, we have a history where not only did we ascertain that something went wrong, but we spent months screaming about what went wrong, who approved what, how come I didn't know about this. And really undergoing a forensic, thank you, Margie, I'm really undergoing a forensic detective process. And when you sat through that over and over and over again, as I think many members of the Finance Committee have, you sort of feel like, well, at a minimum, we need to know what went wrong. We've got to have some kind of record keeping that will answer those questions of how did this go off the tracks? And I don't, you know, continuing to do things in the same way and expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity. And that's really what the motion is intended to address. Because it has happened. So we're not micromanaging. We're putting in something that clearly was missing and clearly wanted by a number of parties who ran around screaming, how could this happen? How come we didn't know?
On point of order, Chair.
Thank you, personal privilege. Excuse me. I am a timekeeper, and if people don't respond to me when I say time, 90 seconds turns into 2.5, almost 3 minutes. I don't think that's fair. I'm sorry. You know, you can give this job to somebody else, but don't j- just keep talking when the timekeeper says time.
It's rude.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you. Jan, go ahead and then let's go to a vote, please. Jan.
I'm just noticing we have 5 minutes before I believe this call ends and we go into the special section. When I've called for the vote in a recent meeting, I realized it wasn't well received. And so instead of doing that, I want to remind us that we have 5 minutes left for this meeting.
Thank you so much, Janice. And I think time has expired and everyone has expressed themselves sufficiently. And as with many matters, there's a difference of opinion as to how to proceed. But to recapitulate what the motion and the substitute motion are, I perceive the makers having framed them, is that the motion would turn this into PNB policy to be implemented and modified by the CFO. The substitute, from how it has been presented, sounds as though it would send it back to the CFO for a lot of feedback, and then he'd be bringing it back before it's policy. And if I'm incorrect in that synopsis, please correct me. But that is the critical difference that I hear when people are arguing. So the substitute is the first thing we will vote on. You can vote yes, no, or abstain. If you vote yes, it becomes the main motion, and we vote upon it again. If you vote no, then it's out, and we vote on the main motion, which would make this our policy. Mr. Secretary, could you please call the roll on the substitute? I'm sorry.
Point of order. We have the original motion. We have Brian's substitute motion, and then we have Teresa's substitute of Brian. So there are three elections we're going to have.
I believe we had merged Brian's and Teresa's. Is that incorrect?
I don't think you can you? I don't know.
Brian and Teresa, was there not a concurrence in your two motions, or did I miss that?
Well, Teresa doesn't concur with her own motion at this point.
Well, that's true, but we're just dealing with what's on the floor. I thought, no, what is the difference? I'm sorry. Brian, can you articulate your motion?
I don't care if we take two votes or three, personally. I think Richard's right on procedure.
Okay. Could you restate your substitute, Brian? Because if I'm fuzzy, I'm sure there's at least a couple of other members of our as well.
Mine was to circulate to affected staff for feedback and then send it to committee for revision. Teresa's was to send it to the CFO for revision.
Thank you. Richard is correct. I stand corrected. Thank you, Richard, for paying attention and being a good secretary. Thank you, Brian. Okay. So, dear Lord.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Thanks. It's great. I thought I heard Teresa say she did want interaction with staff. I thought she just made a non-correction of my earlier statement.
I believe where Brian parsed the difference is that Teresa's motion sends it to the CFO for the interaction with staff, and Brian's motion sends it to which committee? I'm sorry, Brian, was it going back to?
The one it came from. I guess that's finance.
To interact with staff also. So it's really where the basis of the interaction is occurring, correct? So let's just get on with it and do three votes. I'm not doing two rules of order there, but I think we'll vote on Teresa's amendment. We shall call Teresa's amendment to Brian's substitute. It doesn't sound entirely procedurally correct, but I think we can do this. So if you want it sent to the CFO for him to get feedback from the various affected constituencies of staff.
Madam Chair.
Teresa.
My motion, we determined, was a substitute. Brian's motion was a referral. That's how he entitled it. And
okay.
I did not feel it was necessary to say in my substitute that the CFO would have to confer with fundraising development staff. I think he's going to do that anyway. So I didn't feel the need to get that detailed in my motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
Mine is the substitute.
Okay, so Teresa is the substitute. We will vote on it first. It would send this matter to the CFO.
Yeah.
Brian's is a referral back to the Finance Committee for more fine-tuning among affected constituencies of staff. And the main motion would simply make it policy, which would also go back to the CFO for fine-tuning, to be perfectly honest. Tracy, I think, was quite correct about that. So we're going to vote on the substitute, and then
okay.
I chose and then the referral, and then the main motion. Dear Lord. Okay, go ahead. Substitute.
Okay.
Yes. accepted.
Okay. This vote is for Alan's substitute. Razan?
Yes.
Yes. Crumb Show?
No.
No. Okay. Medina?
What'd she say?
That was a pass, I guess.
She said yes.
That's a pass.
Oh, she passed.
Pass. Okay. Alan?
No.
Polinar?
Pass.
Yes. Henschel?
No.
No. Uzel, no. Burton?
No. No, excuse me.
No. Coleman?
Pass.
Yeah. Roberts? Can't hear you, Serene. Serene? Saba? Patricia, you
abstain. Abstain.
Abstain. Abstain, okay. Gray?
She's not on the call any longer. She lost her own contact.
Is she in Kansas?
She's in Atlanta, and they're having tornadoes.
I know. So she, by now, she's in Kansas.
Probably.
Lane York.
Yes.
What was that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Edward Steakard?
Yes, and somebody, please mute your phone.
Yes, and somebody, please. Oh, no. Rosenberg.
I think I'm... No.
No. Okay. Siegel.
Yes.
Yes. Wilkinson.
Yes.
Yes. Diaz.
No.
No. King.
Yes.
Yes. Norman.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Did Katia not show up? Okay. We got some passes too. Medina?
I vote yes.
Yes. Apollinar?
No.
No. Coleman?
Abstain.
Abstain. And Roberts?
Yes.
I can hear you all again. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Can you hear me now?
I got you. Yes.
Thank you.
That's all the passes.
No. Did Brazan pass? No?
She voted the first time.
Okay. I voted yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Could you read the vote count again, please, Richard?
I no, because I haven't read it the first time. 9 yes. 8 no, and some abstentions, basically.
Two
abstentions. 9-8-2.
Okay. So I hope I'm processing this the right way. I believe since this is a substitute, this would be what? The substitute on the referral? And now it competes against whether it becomes the main motion? God, I feel like we're one motion over the line here, procedurally, frankly. But
you have a substitute?
For the referral. It was
so
in response.
Now the substitute is the main motion.
Point of order?
Yes, Tracy?
Okay, here's what I think. This is a theory, but I'll throw it out. I think what we have is a main motion, then we have a substitute, then we have an amendment to the substitute. What we just voted on was the amendment to the substitute. So the substitute is now commended. And we need to vote on the commended substitute. I'm sorry, but I think that's how Robert's rules work.
Well,
and then if the amended substitute passes, it would replace the main motion.
Well, I think that's basically what we're talking about, because no matter what animal you call it by, you have to go in the order these things are introduced. The referral was in response to the main motion, and Teresa's was in response to the referral amending it. So that's where
Brian here?
Brian, go ahead. Jump in. It's not like I'm looking at Russell's word at this very moment.
It's a little simpler. I made a motion to refer, a motion to commit, it's also called. It's not a substitute. We amended the motion to refer. Now we just have to vote on whether to refer it to the CFO or not.
Okay.
Okay.
The only vote we need to take.
All right. I'm going to point of order one more time.
Please, go ahead.
For what it's worth, I don't think that the PND can refer things to the CFO. The CFO is not a member of the board. He's not a committee of the board. He's an employee.
An officer of the board.
What's his
he can. Excuse me. Excuse me, Brian. Don't interrupt. And I've never actually in my many years on the board ever heard of us referring a motion to the CFO. So I think what we have here is a substitute motion. We've now commended it, and what we would do is figure out if we're going to substitute the substitute for the main motion.
Okay, I'm going to make a field decision. Y'all can overrule the chair if you don't like it, because we just got to get to the end of the day and conduct business here. Based on logic, something I frequently like to apply specific to business, because it's in short supply occasionally, is that I think the intent of the makers here is that Brian introduced the motion saying, no, this does not become policy. We kick it back to committee. And Teresa introduced an amendment substitute, and I could go crack Robert Schultz's order, but we really have more business to do. To that, saying, oh, let's send it to the CFO, and basically make it a management decision rather than a policy of support. That's what's just passed. I think it substitutes out Brian's motion. That's the ruling. We now vote whether it becomes the main motion, as in the one that was introduced by the Finance Committee many, many moments ago. That motion failed. So we're going to vote on whether it becomes the main motion as passed, and if it fails, then we vote on the main motion that was originally introduced. And if I'm wrong, somebody go ahead and challenge my ruling. I'm fine. Let's just, I have to make a decision here. What makes sense? So if there's no objection, then we're going to take a vote on whether this is the main motion and passes as the main motion. And if it doesn't, it fails, then we vote on the main motion that was introduced originally. So this is the Teresa Apple's motion, which is that it goes to the CFO. I believe it's substituted for Brian's motion, sending it to the committee. That's when she introduced it. That was the intent. So, Mr. Scripture, if you can call the roll on whether the Allen motion sending it to the CFO as a management issue is the main motion that we pass. Or if it fails, we go to the original motion from the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Okay, this is for the, this says add the substitute as the main motion. Edward Steakers?
Yes.
Yes. Rosenberg?
No.
Siegel?
Yes.
Yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Diaz?
No.
No. King?
Yes.
Yes. Norman?
Yes.
Yes. Stitt? Brazon?
Yes.
Yes. Crumso?
No.
No. Medina?
Yes.
Yes. Alan?
Allen says no.
No. Polinar?
No.
No. Mitchell?
No.
No. Uzel, no. Burden? Can't hear you, Carolyn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. No. Sorry.
No. Coleman?
No.
No. Roberts?
Yes.
Yes. Sabah?
No.
No. Ray?
No.
Oh, Heather, you there? Is that Heather? Oh, all right. I don't know who that was. Lane Ewer?
No.
No, that was you. Okay.
Excuse me.